Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Brad, are you ready to get bummed out?
Yay! Wait, you said bummed. Why would I? No. I don't want to get bummed.
Get bummed out by the most obvious news of the week, that ticket prices at Walt Disney World are increasing.
But why would ticket prices increase? We got told that the tickets are too darn high.
But they, no, we got told that the pricing strategy was too aggressive. This is a non-aggressive ticket price hike. This is just regular price hike.
This is not price hike plus. This is just normal price hike.
This is nice, you know. What can you do? Price hike.
Right. So I will say one thing that I find interesting about the price hike that we've seen, which is that essentially in 2025, ticket prices are increasing $5 to $10 per ticket per day. Now, this is on single park, single day tickets. So there's probably... It's really hard now to, which Disney loves, for us to just talk about, this is how prices are increasing this year.
Yeah.
Because with the, what do they call it? Dynamic pricing or whatever?
Yeah, it's got a cool name.
Right, with the variable per park, ticket pricing. Per day, tiering and everything, it's way more complex.
Yeah.
And thus, you can't just say, okay, so ticket prices have increased $25 on a single day and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But we are definitely seeing $5 to $10 increases at minimum for, and that's for the cheapest park for each day, and possibly more than that. But they're not increasing until 2025, which I feel like in the past, I've always had to try to make sure I buy my tickets before the price increase happened, or it was going to become immediately effective and I would be unable to buy my tickets at the previous price.
Right. So I guess it's nice that we have a year's
really the case
notice.
Anymore. Yeah. If you were ever going to buy for 2025, you were going to buy at this price, essentially. And I mean, it's not great, but it's less pull the rug out from under you-ish. And by the way, this could have totally been the way that it was last year, and I just wasn't paying attention. So I'm not praising this by any stretch. I'm just saying I'm looking for a silver lining, and this is a bit of a silver lining, right?
Yeah. It's never good to get ticket price increases, but it's going to happen. It happens every year. So if it's going to happen, $5 to $10 per ticket is, in the grand scheme of things, not that much. And it's also nice to know, like, it's if you're going next year, that's just going to be the new price. There's no, aside from the dynamic, you know, variable nature of it, it's no trickery or anything. As far as it being complicated, yes, but at least there's no complexity in, like, well, if you buy this ticket on this day, it will be, you know, it won't have that increase yet, but if you don't, blah, 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 whatever. It's just across the board, you know what you're getting, and that's nice.
I'm not happy that ticket prices increased, but I'm also not surprised that ticket prices increased.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would be, you know, amazed if somehow they didn't increase, or if, heaven forbid, they were to decrease. I don't know, though, man. If ticket prices ever decreased, I would be so suspect of that.
I don't think they can. I understand what you're saying. I don't think they would ever decrease them. They would leave them the same and offer something else, or they would increase
to augment them.
Yeah, or increase them very slightly. And say, I don't know, if they did an extra $5 to $10 per ticket per day, and then, for example, brought back Magical Express, that would be a really easy way to sell ticket prices increasing. Hey, look, we're giving you this, you know, thing, this value add, And it's, you know, so we have to increase the ticket price. Or and they honestly, they probably wouldn't even equate them. They would just say, hey, look, ticket prices are going up by $5 to $10 per ticket per day next year. And also, look, Magical Express, a service that will take your bags and you from the airport to Walt Disney World. And people would obviously say, like, okay, well, that's a little paying a little bit more to get a little bit more. Or in that case, to get a lot more. But I think that's what they would do. They would make minute changes and then offer something else. So I guess we'll see in the coming months if there is an offer for 2025 that augments what you get for your extra $5 to $10 per ticket per day.
Yeah, I'm going to go with nothing. I will say that I was looking and it looks like August is the last set of news articles I see about a price increase. So August of 2023. And at that point, there were price increases, but the base, so that 109, which essentially is Animal Kingdom a lot of the time, stayed the same. So we are seeing an increase at the very cheapest price that we didn't see previously. It was so complicated to lay out the price increases because it really depended on the time of year and the day in which park was involved. They were they were increasing prices while trying to keep that bottom price the same. I feel like that kind of minimizes the effect somewhat because people look at it and they're like, well, you can still get a one-day, one-park ticket for $109, right? Whereas now you see it and you're like, well, that increased to 119 or, you know, 114 or whatever it was. But at the same time, it's still an increase. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Death taxes and Disney ticket price increases, they've come again. Whoop-dee-doo.
One thing that is not mind-blowingly cool or earth-shattering or anything, but is a nice add-on, is the My Disney Experience app, the Walt Disney World app, will now tell you where water bottle refill stations are, which is handy because you can still bring in your reusable water bottles to the parks, and especially in places like Animal Kingdom and Epcot that are very large and sprawling, it's sometimes hard to find a place to refill those. And so just having them on the app is a nice little addition. For Epcot, it would be really nice if they would tell you which ones taste good, too. Because
some of those are questionable. Yeah. I will totally agree with you on that.
Yeah. So
no, this is
maybe they'll add flavoring nice next year.
Right. You know what? You should actually do a new series, Jeremy, where on your next visit, you go and visit all of the water bottle stations and you can rank them for us.
Maybe my TikTok debut.
Right. Yeah. The top five water bottle refill stations at Walt Disney World.
I can tell you in 2012, it was Germany. The Germany Pavilion in Epcot had, like, it was cold and it was so tasty. And we, like, sat there and refilled our water bottles and then chugged them and then refilled them again. And we were trying to get as much of that sweet Germany water as we could.
That sweet German water. It's the German engineering on those pipes, man. You just can't beat it. No, I think this is a very good thing because, yeah, a lot of, you know, I've taken my reusable water bottle with me, and there are times where you can't find one of these refill stations, and you don't know when you're going to come across one again. So you either go and make a cast member really mad by asking for, you know, like five water cups to fill your water bottle with. Or you're at the fountain that you found that doesn't have the water bottle refill station at it, and you have to hold your water bottle sideways and hit the fountain and try to get just as full as you can possibly get it, and it's a whole thing. So no, I think this is a nice, it's not an earth-shattering change, but it's a nice change to have in the app, and it's something else that makes it more useful. And I am all for making things more useful. You know, it's not everything has to be big and splashy.
Right. Well, and for me, the thing that makes me feel good about it is the same thing we talked about last week with the PhotoPass magic shot. Is to me, this says they still have people walking around the parks thinking about what they can do to improve the guest experience. And, you know, if some Imagineer or cast member was having this issue and said, man, I cannot find where these water bottle refill stations are, and they sent it up the chain and they said, oh, that's easy for us to implement, and did it. And it just, it speaks to the fact that they still have people who are paying attention to little easy things to make the guest experience better. And I want to praise them for that, because putting feet on the ground and actually going through these parks and paying attention to stuff like that is the only way to make improvements that are realistic. You can be in a board meeting and write up on, you know, a whiteboard, like, here's all the things that people want. And maybe some of them, you know, would be that, but to actually have somebody on the ground going like, we really need this. This would make the experience of being here better. Is nice, and that's how you get these.
And to say, you know what, this is something that we can actually accomplish.
Yeah,
and it's a pretty simple thing, and it'll be a win for us. So let's do it, and then actually follow through and do it.
Yeah, and yeah, you know, little wins that makes everybody feel good. Makes the engineers feel good, the cast members feel good. Everybody feels good. Just give everybody a little win. So, anyway, nice to see them adding, you know, functionality beyond how quickly can we get you to pay for individual Lightning Lane.
Yes. Now, what you really need to sign up for, though, Jeremy, if you want to know about the quality of water, is Water Plus. Because that will allow you to skip the line for the water bottle refill station and access the special cooled water. Wait, no, don't. Let's cut that, because these are the sorts of things that I say, and then I'm really afraid that somebody's like, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do that.
All you do is scan your magic band, and you hear the little fridge compressor kick on.
Right.
And the water's cool for 30 seconds.
Or you scan your magic band, and it's like, and all of a sudden you hear the of the boiler starting up to warm the water.
Your water will be 95 degrees.
Enjoy.
The one in Batu is also pretty good, with the little alien eyeball in it.
Oh, yeah?
That one is pretty good. I filled my water bottle and my spraying bottle.
You're talking about quality of the water, right?
Yes.
Not just quality of the refill station. Because, yeah, that is definitely a cool refill station.
It is. But, no, the quality of the water. It was tasty. It did not have that Florida well tang to it.
See, now I'm sitting here going, we need to have some sort of double blind study where we have people run to all of the water bottle refill stations, turn them over, and then turn them over to the people, and then we can test them all. Man, if I just had all the money,
yeah,
I could have a lot of fun with doing really stupid, meaningless stuff, but it would be really great for like five people.
Yeah. Episode 400 is coming up pretty quick. I think we should go. We'll spend one day drinking around Epcot, and then we'll spend the next day drinking water around Epcot.
And we'll think all of the water, it's fine.
This water
know.
Is so good.
Care. My head's killing me.
This water is the best water.
Yeah, this water is great for taking Tylenol
hydrative.
And ibuprofen. Yes.
This water is definitely water. Speaking of money things, a while back, Disney announced a $70 billion investment in the parks. I think just the domestic parks, U.S. parks, over the next 10 years. And they did caveat and say that most of that investment would take place in the latter 5 years of the decade. But more recently, they came out and said the vast majority of that money is going to be spent to increase capacity. And that is an incredibly good thing to hear, but it's also very vague. And I don't know what that means. And so I wanted to get your thoughts on what does increased capacity mean? Because it could be create a new gate, and that would increase capacity. It could be create new attractions. It could be expanding California Adventure. I've seen stories of that where they have some office space outside of California Adventure right now that they're petitioning Anaheim to let them tear down and redo into park space. So what does 60-ish billion dollars in increased capacity mean?
So yeah, they say 70% is earmarked for incremental capacity expanding investments around the globe. So does not say that it is domestic only.
Okay.
Because they do say around the globe.
Boy, you know what? The Oriental Land Company is really smart. Because they own it all, but Disney's still earmarking money to expand capacity.
I mean, in theory, like, I don't think that that means that they are definitely going to cover every part.
Yeah.
But it has the ability.
This seems like a good deal.
Yeah, to land at every park. But, yeah, I mean, increasing capacity essentially has to, in my mind, has to mean new lands and or new attractions.
But could, like, new Skyliner routes, would that increase capacity also?
I don't think that increases capacity because it doesn't allow for any more guests at the parks.
Mm, okay.
Right. It gets them to the parks. And once they're at the parks, the parks still can't support having that many people there.
That's true.
Now, the question is how much of that is going to be into lands and attractions, and then how much of that is into infrastructure to support lands and attractions.
Right.
Because another way of increasing capacity is being able to run more stuff. And, you know, there are plenty of restaurants and merch locations and even attractions that maybe aren't running at 100% capacity all the time because of staffing. And so how much of that do you invest into staffing so that you can increase that? Right? How much of it do you put into staffing at the front gates to get people through the gates quicker?
Oh, man. Yeah. Hollywood Studios needs that so badly.
Oh, yeah. All of them, depending on the time of day. But it's always a very delicate balance of you don't want to just add a whole bunch of extra people that are going to be standing around 70% right. of their shift either. But no, I don't think that you would announce this. I mean, this was in an earnings call, right? So
right.
It's not like it's at D23.
Yeah.
But I do feel like ultimately they're saying we are interested in building new experiences. Which is promising. I just, at the same time, though, we just got done watching them take the hatchet to the Epcot expansion plans.
Yeah.
Right? And cutting way back on that. So I'm not exactly sure what something like this would even entail.
Well, and Rise of the Resistance, the, you know, some might argue crowning jewel of Hollywood Studios, is still down 90 plus minutes a day. And
I mean, honestly, if you want to talk about incremental increases to capacity, that would be a huge increase to capacity if you could dependably run guests through that queue all day long.
Yeah.
into all of the bays and everything else. Or, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of attractions where we see, you know, this side goes down or that side goes down. There's only so much you can do with maintenance, but maybe there's something. But yeah, no, Rise was the first thing that came to my mind when it came to what could they spend this money on repair to make better. But at the same time, man, I don't know. There's the part of me that says they might be looking for some wins like that. So, for example, the Midway Mania, or now just Toy Story Mania, when they added that additional track,
Yeah, game changer.
Right, that added a... Yeah, it added a whole lot of capacity to that attraction.
Soarin' Theater 3.
Right.
Again.
Added a whole lot of capacity to that attraction. So, could they be looking at stuff like that? And if so, I mean, I don't know, man. It's always so hard to say because it's like, where would you do something like that?
That's what I was going
to
ask you specifically. Aside from like, okay, we got Peter Pan's Flight and Peter Pan's Flight 2. They're the same, but you can go on both of them.
Man, if they could add a second track to Peter Pan somehow.
Peter Pan's
Flight. If they could add a Peter Pan 2 out of the exact same area, that would be kind of brilliant. I don't want them to do it because I don't care, but at the same time.
So the problem with increasing capacity with existing attractions, like just a short tangent, Rise of the Resistance. I have seen so many reports recently of people who are walked directly through the Rey scene, the very beginning, past the ship, past the cargo ship, and directly into the hangar. And I'm like, man... One, if I had paid for that, I would be so mad because the Rey thing is nice and it's a cool effect. But if I had to skip the I don't want to spoil it, the cargo ship to get up to the hangar, that reveal at the end, if I had to miss that, I would be mad. I'd be mad now, and I've ridden Rise 4 or 5 times. Like, but to that point. The issue with expanding capacity on existing attractions is you have to close them. They could do Peter Pan's Flight 2 and just do like run a in the exact same building, run a track right next to the existing one, you know, whatever, increase the capacity that way. But you'd have to close Peter Pan's Flight. They could spend 6 months, probably uninterrupted time, making Rise work better, but you'd have to close it for 6 months. And how do you close Rise of the Resistance? And you certainly aren't going to close Peter Pan's Flight, but it's like, if you're going to increase capacity by increasing the capacity of existing attractions, you have to close them, and that's not good for anybody. And so I think the only way to do it, because Walt Disney World, at least, and that's where I'm, you know, obviously most familiar and most comfortable, it's too big. You can't. There's a reason that Walt Disney World's Haunted Mansion does not get themed for Christmas. They cannot afford to have it be closed for 12 weeks a year. And it's the same with everything else. So I think what we're looking at is additive, and it would be the stuff that they've announced for the old Dinoland USA area for Animal Kingdom, or the, you know, stuff behind Big Thunder Mountain in Magic Kingdom, that kind of stuff that's additive. But man, I would really love to see some investment and just bite the bullet and close some things that are beloved, and you know, in the way they did with Splash Mountain, just go in and fix it up. And hopefully either, you know, make it work better or make it, you know, hold more people. I guess you could run Peter Pan's Flight at double speed. Right, that wouldn't need any closing.
I mean, and I think that could be actually kind of fun. Turn it into a bit of a thrill ride, if you will. It's also only like 10 seconds long, but that's okay because you're in and out way quicker. I don't know, man. The load and unload on that would be crazy. But
yeah, that'd be...
Oh, wait. They're going to use Peter Pan, and they're going to implement the load and unload essentially from the Skyliner with the, like, being able to take it off and put it back on.
Slip on the thing. Yeah. They could do it. They got the technology. It works.
Yeah. I mean, it's battle tested and proven.
What if they just put Skyliner cabins on Peter Pan's Flight?
I like that. Yeah. Plus it'll probably make life easier for them because you know that they're a guest that throws stuff and all sorts of things, and you know they've got to go in and clean that up, and you get them in a completely enclosed cabin in that little gondola, and
you go from two people to eight people.
Right.
That is a 4x capacity increase.
Man, can we talk about how uncomfortable it is when you're getting on the Skyliner and it's busy, so they stuff you on with other people?
Yeah.
Like another party. And don't get me wrong, I realize that you do it on the bus all the time, but it's just a different thing when you're in this box and it's a small area and you're sitting face to face with these. I don't know.
Yeah.
I am not a social person, so it is just super uncomfortable to me.
And sometimes you get on there and it's just the two of you, and then you're like, yes. And then they're like,
yep.
Uh-huh. Then they're like, yeah, three to yellow. Oh no, yeah. No.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. The door's closing. Yeah,
there's not a door close button on this Skyliner.
Right. Yeah. I'm sorry. I can't control. My leg is kicking at you. It's the weirdest thing.
Bye.
So increased capacity can definitely mean new attractions, new, possibly even new lands, which would be wonderful, but it could also mean taking better advantage of the attractions that you have. So say, for example, you had a beloved attraction that was maybe underperforming in, I don't know, some, you know, futuristic place. And maybe it even involved a character that was supposedly the character of that entire park, but it regularly had 5-minute waits. Maybe some of that money could be spent revitalizing and improving that attraction so that it became an attraction people would actually go to and get bigger waits, which then takes more people, which increases capacity. Because right now, by the way, for anybody who's somehow... For anybody who doesn't know, we're talking about Journey into Imagination.
Journey into your imagination.
If you could get more people to go on that ride and you're not running it empty or, you know, half empty a lot of the time, that's going to be more capacity for the parks, right?
Yeah. Well, and I wonder, too, could it, and I don't have an example of this, like where this could happen, could you add not necessarily another attraction, but more space, like walking space? The way that Epcot just took all the construction walls down and you can now walk through the middle of Future World or what it World Celebration now. Is that a capacity increase where you actually have physically more room for people to move around in the park and not necessarily be on an attraction? Is that, I think maybe I'm asking what the word capacity actually means to them.
And here's the super fun thing about this, Jeremy, and the super thing, but fun thing about businesses in general. If they didn't define it for you, it means whatever they need it to mean when it comes time to say, you know what, we accomplished our goal, because we never actually set the goalpost anywhere except for something nebulous, capacity increase. And then if we need it, you know, to say, yeah, we increase the area where people can walk and that increased capacity, then that's what they'll say, if that's what they have to say. So, yeah, it's very who knows what. But by the way, speaking of Epcot, possibly even more a bigger untapped potential, let's say, then Journey would be the, what do they call it now? The Pixar Short Film Festival thing?
Yeah.
The theater where Honey, I Shrunk the Audience and Captain EO used to be. That's got to be something that you could do something with to increase capacity.
Well, and they have, yeah, yes, that, and they have a whole, the Wonders of Life pavilion. Isn't that just sitting there?
Supposedly.
Like, do something with that.
Because aren't they still using that from time to time for events and things? So, yeah, like, that's definitely a place where you could increase capacity, and you wouldn't even have to build out. I mean, I don't know how much work would have to be done inside that pavilion to get it back to usable and to add an attraction or whatever you would want to do with it, but it's got to be less than starting from scratch.
I'm currently looking up the amount of time between construction start and construction end for Guardians, because that was basically the same thing. They announced it, and it was in a building that was existing that they had to gut, and then they had to completely redo. And it was
and build a whole separate huge building, which is very possibly why they said a lot of this is going to be back half loaded.
Yeah. So it was.
It's not that they're going to back half load spending the money, back half load increasing the capacity.
Yes. And this is good. The timeline of this is bad because COVID. It was announced 2017 and opened 2022. So 5 years between announcement.
Yeah, but that's still.
And Ellen's Energy Adventure was still running in there. So they had a functional attraction in this building. 5 years went by, and there was a brand new, completely different functional attraction in the same building. So Wonders of Life, even if it has to be completely gutted and changed and everything, they can do it in 5 years. And two of those years are very difficult COVID years, so you could possibly, you know, do it in four. So I would say that using that building for something is well within their well within their timeline.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of potential out there, and yeah, they've already announced quite a bit of where this money is going. Like you said, things like the redo to Dinoland USA, yeah, and all of that. Is definitely where some of this is being
part of Josh DeMaro's. Let's just tell you everything we're thinking about strategy.
Right. So some of this earmarking has already happened for some things that we've already heard about. But man, I sure hope that there are some things that we haven't heard about,
yeah,
that are going to be added onto this. And I hope that somehow increasing capacity, because here's the only thing that does kind of scare me, because again, business talk and move the goalpost and everything. Increased capacity could also mean more DVC towers everywhere, man. Because if you say it's the resort and we're increasing the capacity at the resort, more towers is more people being able to stay at the resort, which is increasing the capacity of the resort.
I think I just figured out what it was. It looks like it's a typo, and what they meant to say was they're increasing Cap City, which is their new hat store.
Yes, yes. But man, it's going to be an amazing hat store. Every hat you could possibly want.
All the hats. So $60 billion.
I am so ready for the $60 billion cap. Only 70%, right? 70% of $60 billion, which I don't math good on the spot. So I can't come up with what that is, but that's a lot of money. But man, Cap City is going to be amazing. I'm so looking forward to it.
I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.